This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Tuesday. Now, we're going to discuss something we've touched on before, cheating in elections. Mainly because Democrats keep basically telling us they're cheating in elections. We'll do that. We'll get to some emails. Lindsey Graham is in the news, of course, lying. Possibly, well, not possibly, some bad news for the Trump administration. All that and still more is to come in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But what's FFC? I keep saying it. We keep covering it. Think about the Democrat Party like a stool. No, not that kind of stool. A stool that you like a bar stool. And there are three legs to the bar stool. They hold up the Democrat Party. Without these three things, the Democrat Party ceases to exist. And I mean that. It is a 20% party. Issue after issue after issue after issue, they are a 20% party. The American people do not like Democrats. They do not like their party. The three things: FFC, fraud, foreigners, and cheating. Cheating in elections. Those are the three stools, three legs, I should say, that hold up the Democrat stool in this country, right? So we talk a lot enough about foreigners. That's never going to stop. You want some examples of what I'm about to talk about? The Trump administration, they're well aware of those three legs. They're well aware of FFC, fraud, foreigners, and cheating. And they are taking as many steps as they possibly can right now to try to stop FFC because they understand without it, Democrats disappear. So they're doing things like saying, hey, Oregon, we need your voter rolls. That's a simple request, is it not? These people vote in federal elections. They vote for president, for instance. So the federal government should be able to see the voter rolls, and what's the harm in that? Federal government needs to see your voter rolls. We need to ensure that every person on your voter rolls is, well, one, alive, that's a great start, and two, an American citizen, because you wouldn't let foreigners vote in your elections, right? Huh. This is from Mark Elias. He is one of these elite communists, a communist activist. Breaking: hours after holding a hearing about the DOJ letter threatening Minnesota, federal judge in Oregon dismisses a DOJ lawsuit to access state voter rolls. Now, I know that that sounds like bad news, of course. What do you mean they dismissed it? But it proves my point, does it not? The DOJ sued Oregon and said, hey, all we want to see is your voter rolls. Oregon fought tooth and nail to not show it to the government. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's because everything's on the up and up? You want to hear from, that was Oregon. You want to hear from the Secretary of State of Minnesota? His name's Steve Simon. Listen to him.
Claims it needs that data to enforce federal election law. What do you think is going on with this request?
Well, no, they don't need this data. And federal and state privacy laws, we maintain, say that they don't get that data.
Minnesota won't give the federal government the data anyway, either. So that's Oregon. No, don't look at our voter rolls. That's Minnesota. No, we don't want you looking at our voter rolls. Interesting, isn't it? Know what else is interesting? Virginia. Do you know what Virginia is trying to get through? I don't think this will hold up or don't worry about it, but you know what Virginia is trying to get through on top of all the other things? Virginia is trying to ensure that immigration officers, ICE, they are not allowed within 40 feet of a polling place. Where people vote. Now, why would Democrats in Virginia be worried about ICE hanging around a voting place? Hey, Chris, Corey, I don't know. I was born yesterday. What possible explanation could there be for Virginian Democrats being desperate enough to stop ICE from being around a polling location? You already know the answer. The Democrat Party is a 20% party. I used to lean a little more Democrat on this, meaning I used to think, okay, well, it's not 50-50, but I bet they're 40%. I bet they're 35%. Do you know how I arrived at the 20% number? I didn't just pull that number out of thin air. I started paying more attention, because you can't ever pay attention to one poll, right? One survey. That can be misleading. But I started paying attention to polls on issues whenever they would come out. Whoever put the poll out, I would read it. And it's not that I would take it as gospel, but you're always looking for trends. If next presidential election, let's say it's J.D. Vance versus Gavin Newsom, could possibly be that. If one poll comes out that shows J.D. Vance is down by 5 points, okay, not the end of the world. If every poll over the course of 4 months shows J.D. Vance down by 5 points, now's the time to worry. You can look at polling trends, and you should look at polling trends. And the trend is this. The trend is that on almost every major issue, with the exception of healthcare, I need to stress that, for some reason Democrats dominate on healthcare, on almost every single major issue, Democrats are 30, 40 points behind Republicans as far as who the public trusts on the issue. The public doesn't want open borders. Listen to this again. I played it earlier.
Deporting all immigrants who are here illegally, 55% of the New York Times, Marquette, 64%, CBS News, 57%, ABC News with a slightly different question, 56%. So what you're seeing essentially here is very clear indication that a majority of Americans, in fact, when they're asked this blunt question, which I believe gets at the underlying feelings, do in fact want to deport all immigrants who are here illegally. There's no arguing with these different numbers because they're all essentially the same across four different pollsters.
Now that is just deporting every illegal. But think about the Democrat Party's stance. The Democrat Party's stance, which they will scream loudly, is everyone should be able to come here, that foreigners actually built the United States of America, and deporting a rapist from Minneapolis is equal to the Gestapo. That's a 20% party. Transgenderism is one of the most monstrous things that this country has ever embraced, to whatever degree the country has embraced it. Monstrous. Horrible. What we do to mentally ill people in this country. People struggling with whatever kind of mental health thing they're going through. And instead of getting them help and love and care in this country, we actually drag them into counseling, fill them up with drugs, and eventually throw them on a surgical table and start chopping off their body parts like Dr. Frankenstein. Freaking monstrous. Monstrous. We rightfully call out guys like Dr. Mengele, that monstrous Nazi doctor, for doing medical experimentation stuff like that on people. Here in this country, it's sanctioned by one of the two major political parties. You know who hates it? Almost every freaking American. Go look at the issues. Why do you think the Trump administration, they were running tranny stuff in critically important swing states? They were running tranny commercials because they know Democrats, once again, 20% issue. Without fraud and foreigners and cheating, the Democrat Party disappears. The Trump administration understands that those three legs
are holding up the bar stool. They get it. And that's why Democrats are digging their heels in on the foreigners. That's why they're digging their heels in on the voter rolls.
It needs that data to enforce federal election law. What do you think is going on with this request?
Well, no, they don't need this data. And federal and state privacy laws, we maintain, say that they don't get that data.
There are great things happening. This is me, but we're still going to talk bad stuff, I swear. We're going to be honest. I'm not trying to be all sunshine and roses today. We are. But I know that right now, look, I'm getting texts during the show. Is Trump caving in Minnesota? We're screwed with it. Maybe he is caving. I don't think that. I don't know that. Maybe he is. But slow down on the, hey, we're done, we're screwed thing. Over 2 million foreigners gone. Negative net migration for the first time in 50 years. Voter rolls being exposed in the country. Somali fraud cheating across the nation being exposed. There are good things happening. Let's do some emails. Before we do some emails, let's do this. You know what else is good? Not being in pain. You don't want your back to hurt anymore, do you? You don't want to wince when you bend over. The thing. I know that's the sound you make. Does it sound like I know? Because I know, or at least I knew. I know what it's like. Daily pain. It's way worse than that stabbing, horrible pain when you stub your toe on the side of the coffee table. When it's there all day, every day, it's like a nagging wife. Your life is just horrible. Let Relief Factor bring peace. Let Relief Factor get that nagging wife out of your life. You don't have to live with pain. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free, natural ingredients. You take it every day, and your pain goes away. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. You are 3 weeks away from it being gone. 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email your love, your hate, your death threats to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, I like it that you're mixing in a little 80s. 80s was an underrated decade for music. Don't say you do that a lot. Don't tell lies. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't do it a lot. You don't do it near enough. We don't hear near enough Doors. We don't hear enough Pink Floyd. We don't hear enough 80s music. Instead, we have to hear the Smashing Freaking Pumpkins. Barf. Hey, Jesse, we get bit. Oh, this the subject of this one is A Day in the Life of Jesse. We get bits and pieces occasionally about your daily life, but how about just for fun, give us a rundown of the typical workday for you? We know you grab your phone, see what's on first thing in the morning, but what else? When do you start working on the day's show? How early are you at the studio before the day's podcast, so on and so forth? Okay. He said, please omit bathroom habits. His name is John. All right. So here's a work day typically for me. I don't get to take the boys to school anymore. Now that James is driving, he drives them to school, and gosh, I don't want to sound like such an old softy, but kind of sucks still. Doesn't it, Chris? Do you get what I'm talking about? There's gonna come a day when you don't take them to school anymore. They just take up. Anyway, so maybe I'm up when they walk out. Usually, sometimes not. Get out of bed not long after that. Roll over, grab the phone. Oftentimes, Ob is already out working out. She's already gone. So, all right, I'll tell you right now. Some of this is going to be embarrassing. It's just you and me talking. Don't hold it against me. You know Fred, right? My big, fluffy, idiot dog, Fred. He is the dumbest dog in the history of mankind. He came and smelled food on the ground. You have to point it out to him. But he is, well, he likes a lot of affection. So sometimes, most mornings, when I reach over and grab my phone, I'll say, Fred. He'll come running into the room and he'll jump up into the bed. Shut up, Chris. And then he plops down on me and we hang out for a little bit as I'm going through my messages and emails, whatever. Then I get up. It's breakfast time. I am normally an eggs and bacon guy. That's very consistent for me. It's eggs every morning. I without exception, I eat eggs. I'm an egg freak. I'll eat eggs all three meals of the day. Sometimes I will get breakfast tacos, but usually it's just eggs, over easy scrambled bacon. That's what I am. Couple cups of coffee. As I'm doing this, if Ob isn't there annoying me, I will be on my phone. You asked about show prep. So here's something that Michael Berry told me very early on before I even started doing my first radio show, and it has turned out to be 100% true. He said, you know what show prep is? I said, what? He said, it's your entire life. Every minute of your life, there is an opportunity to make somebody's day better, tell a good story, come up with an analogy, whatever. So it's not that I wake up and start show prepping, although that's part of it. For instance, when I'm eating breakfast, I'm going through articles and sound bites and things I want to talk about later. It's all day, every day. So after I do that, couple cups of coffee, try to keep it to two or three anymore. I usually work out, try to work out, do some kind of workout, weights, that kind of thing. Done with that, shower, get dressed, take off for the studio. I get here, and from there, the rest of the day really is spent just gathering articles and sound and talking to Chris and Corey about we might want this, we might want that, what do we think about this? Rarely do I have a guest. Obviously, I had Ryan Gerdusky on earlier, but as you know, that I would say once a week we get a guest, maybe probably an average. So if it's something that piques my interest, we'll grab one of those, but usually it's just, hey, I like this, I like that. Never laying out the show, though. Never, hey, we're going to talk about this in hour one and then that in hour two, because I don't like to do it that way. I like to completely go off the cuff and just talk about whatever I feel like talking about at the time. So I'll sit down 10, 15 minutes before the show. Corey puts a stack of articles in front of me. Chris and Corey have come up with a big audio list, some stuff they got, some stuff I got. And I'll just look at it all and I'll say, I want that, 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 and that. And then 6 o'clock Eastern time rolls in and it's time to rock and roll. That's my day. Show's over, go home, see the wife, see the kids, eat a little bite, go to sleep, wake up the next day, do the whole thing again. That's my day. Jesse, just let these commies have Minnesota and or Minneapolis and all of Minnesota. Tell them they're no longer welcome to be part of the United States. They're on their own. All right, I understand what you're saying. I understand the sentiment. But remember, you can't allow them to have anything. Or the next time you go into a different state, they'll do twice as bad a stuff there. You can't give them an inch, even if you're tempted. Even if you're tempted, well, we should back off a little bit. Even if you're tempted, you can't give them an inch. All right. There is a bit of messaging from the Trump White House that I have to address. I was going to try to avoid it, but then Trump himself said something a couple hours ago. I'm going to play it for you, and we're going to talk about it. Before we talk about it, I understand that many people are uncomfortable with guns. Maybe you are. Just don't have the training. You don't know it. I understand that in many places in the country, it's illegal to have them. I get it. I don't ever want you to do something that's going to send you to prison because I'm not paying for your legal fees. I got it. Byrna is here for you. Look, I carry concealed. You know what I carry. I also carry a Byrna. Did you know that? I carry two things. Why? Well, Byrna, it gives me a non-lethal option depending on the situation. But maybe that's all you can carry. It's legal in all 50 states. Pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds. SWAT teams across the country carry it because it stops bad guys. Stops them in their tracks. You will live. Honestly, they will live. Go get a Byrna. Not just for yourself, for the person you love the most. Keep it in your car. I keep it on my person, and you should do the same. Definitely keep one by your nightstand. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. Don't hope for the best. Hope is not a plan. Prepare to meet a bad man today. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, so let's talk about the messaging after the most recent ICE shooting where that dude died. Because Kristi Noem came out almost immediately, and she talked about he had a gun and he was there to massacre people. But maybe he was. I'm not saying that. But the Trump administration has a blind spot. It is an understandable blind spot because it is a GOP establishment blind spot. It always has been. And for Trump, it's Trump himself, it is a huge blind spot. Now, why Trump himself? I'm talking about guns, by the way. Trump is not a gun guy. Trump is very honest and open about who he is. Former New York Democrat, once illegals deported, kind of pro-union guy, not a traditional Republican thing. Donald Trump did not grow up around guns. He doesn't really care about guns at all. And remember, Donald Trump, he's not what you would consider at all a traditional conservative or constitutionalist or anything like that. Sometimes that works out really great because traditional conservatism can be neutered and pathetic. Sometimes there are times where that bites us by things he does and things he says. COVID was actually a great example of this. I made the point back then. Why was Trump okay with shutting down the country? Well, he doesn't come from some constitutional background where he would really consider whether you're even allowed to do that. For Trump, it's just a common sense thing. Well, of course, just close the country. Just be a couple weeks, right? Of course. So he's done things before and said things before about guns that make gun people like me and possibly like you, that make gun people blow a gasket. He said things about these red flag laws, for instance. Well, you got to go grab the guns. We'll grab the guns and we'll work it out later. If you're a Second Amendment absolutist like I am, what? No. He said that before. Okay? He's not very good on guns, to be frank with you. I got it. But I'm explaining to you why. For Trump, he'll just say what's on his mind. Now, before I play what Trump said, because it's really, really bad, what he's about to say is really, really, really bad, let me explain to you reality of it, no matter what Trump says. Train with a gun. Carry a gun on you. It's certainly if you're legally allowed to do so. Carry a gun on you. Use your gun to protect your life and the life of your family. Carry that gun anywhere and everywhere you go. Everywhere. I've told you before, unless I have gone through a metal detector, I am armed at all times. And that does not mean you shouldn't come say hi. I've encouraged you before. I'm just a normal dude. I eat where you eat. I live where you live. You know exactly who I am. Please come say hello. Happy to talk to you. Everyone who's run into me in public will tell you the same thing. Happy to talk to you. The last time I got talked to, it was two ladies in the airport, and she said, and I quote, "I knew it was you because you were eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew." And that's what I was doing. It came up, talk to me. I have a gun. Well, not in the airport, but I have a gun. If that alarms you, stay away because I ain't taking it off. I have a gun. It is your constitutional right to carry a firearm. You should learn how to use one, and you should carry it on you. And what's more, you can carry it to anything and should carry it to anything. If I ever go to a political protest of any kind, and I've done, you know, March for Life, you know, that pro-life organization, I've done that. Guess what? I have a gun on me. And I always will. Now, there's a lot of messaging that should be coming out about that animal
in Minnesota who's dead now. And don't email in whining about me calling him that. He was a communist street animal. That's what he was. That you know, he had a broken rib when he got shot.
Now we're learning more details, along with my colleague Jeff Winter, about what exactly transpired a week before Alex Preddy was shot in Minneapolis and died this past weekend. Now, in this earlier incident, he stopped his car after observing ICE agents chasing what he described as a family on foot and began shouting and blowing his whistle. Preddy later told one of these sources that five agents tackled him and one leaned on his back, appearing to leave him with a broken rib.
He's a professional communist street animal. Where he went wrong is not carrying a gun or extra magazines. That is not at all where he went wrong. Where he went wrong is becoming a communist street animal and then dedicating his life to doing communist street animal activity, like interfering with law enforcement operations, interfering with ICE as they deport rapists and murderers. That's where Preddy went wrong, which makes this messaging out of the White House, which we have heard consistently, and I held off on ranting about it until this from earlier today. This is absurd.
Do you agree with the assessment from some of your own officials that Alex Preddy is a domestic terrorist or an assassin?
Well, I haven't heard that, but certainly he shouldn't have been carrying a gun. But all of, hey, look, bottom line, everybody in this room, we view that as a very unfortunate incident. Everyone, unless you're a stupid person, a very, very unfortunate incident. I don't like that he had a gun. I don't like that he had two fully loaded magazines. That's a lot of bad stuff. And despite that, I say that's a very unfortunate.
What do you think of some Republicans?
What's wrong with a gun and extra magazines? That's like me putting my wallet in my pocket. I not only have a gun, I have extra magazines on me. Why? Because I might have to kill more than 15 people. That's why. Because I have never once in all of my life, in the time in the Marine Corps, in my time hunting with my father, in my time daily carrying, I have never at any point in my life ever once ever said to myself, daggone it, I've got too much ammunition. The words have never come out of my mouth. And I understand that guns are not Trump's thing. I got that. I really do get it. I don't need him to be my gun champion. I don't expect him to be my gun champion. I told you before, he's step one. He's the first of many to come. Love him for what I can get out of him. When I'm angry with him, I say it. When I have a problem with something he says, I lay it out just like I'm laying it out right now. To the Trump administration, Second Amendment people are a critical bedrock of your support. There are about 10 million things you can criticize about that communist street animal. His actions that day, his actions before, all kinds of things you can criticize. That he was carrying a gun with extra magazines, that's not one of them. That's how people live. And that's how, look, we'd be a much better country if more people did that. A much better country. A much more polite country. Now, if you want to criticize his actions while having a gun, do it. As I've told you, when I have my weapon, which is always, I have always and will always attempt to avoid any confrontation at all because I have a gun. When I have an encounter with a police officer, and that encounter is generally me being pulled over for speeding, I tell him, I have respect for what he does. I don't want to put myself in any danger. I don't want him to think he's in any danger. I let him know I have a weapon. It's on my hip. I let him know right away. And I would never tussle with a police officer anyway. I definitely wouldn't if I was carrying a gun. Again, 10 million things you can criticize that guy about. Having a gun with extra mags is not one of them. Bad messaging from the Trump administration, including Trump himself. Got to clean that up. All right. We'll make fun of Lindsey Graham. We'll do some more emails. Let's get you a new employee. I know maybe it's time to expand. Maybe it's time to bring in a temporary employee. Maybe you need to replace a dirt ball you have. I know what that's like. How do you do it? Where do you begin? The old days, you took an ad out in the paper. Maybe right now you're asking friends, hey, you know anybody? Why don't you let ZipRecruiter make your life easy? That's what I always look for in everything now. Who's going to make my life easier? ZipRecruiter makes employers' life easier by matching them with choice employees like that immediately. Because it's all technology now. Smart technology does the sifting and sorting for you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, and that lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right. You know what? I'm taking these ICE articles. I'm tossing them. I'm done talking about it. We'll do some emails. We'll make fun of Lindsey Graham. First of all, Lindsey Graham just said something. And it's just proof of something we've talked about before. So I wanted to bring it up again, not so you're aware, but so you can tell your friend, your normie friends. I understand you already get the game, but it's important for you to lay it out for your normie friends. So here it is for your normie friends. United States senators. It's not like the House of Representatives. They serve six-year terms in office. 6 years. That's a long term, isn't it? Now, think about that in relation to attention spans today. And that's not me pointing at other people. They can't focus. Who can now? With the overwhelming amount of information and everyone has a smartphone, that the attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Okay? So the result of that is this. Scandals. Scandals don't stay in people's minds. They forget. They move on. Forget's probably not fair. They move on. Let me ask you something. It's just not meant to be an insult at all. It applies to me too. Let me ask you. When's the last time you got emotional about the assassination of Charlie Kirk? Been a while, huh? That was not long ago. Me too. Been a while. Just like you, I was devastated afterwards. Such a crushing, horrible moment. But I haven't been emotional about it in a while. That's not because you're a bad person. I am a bad person, but that's not because you're a bad person. We move on. There's a new scandal. There's a new story. There's a new this. There's a new that. United States senators are oftentimes, most of the time, complete scumbags. Swamp rat scumbags who just want to go to Washington, D.C. and live like kings and travel the world like kings, usually on your dime. They want to be royalty. They don't care about their home state most of the time. They'll raise enough money from D.C. and from big donors. They just want to keep getting elected. And you know who loves that short attention span? They love it. United States senators. Because they serve six-year terms. And they understand they can do and say the most despicable stuff in the world. But come election season, especially primary season, they don't have to do much to convince enough normies out there that they're actually good guys and fighting for us. They understand exactly how to play the game. And so whenever they get anywhere close to an important election or an important committee assignment or something like that, that's when they stand up and act like King Kong fighting on our side. There's nobody in Washington, D.C. on either side who does this more and frankly, does this better than Lindsey Graham. Because Lindsey Graham, he represents South Carolina, a state I am in love with. Charleston is probably my favorite city in the United States of America. I adore it. I love the state. I love the people. And it's blood red. How can Lindsey Graham keep getting elected in South Carolina? Well, he does crap like this. Remember that Lindsey Graham spends almost every waking moment working against your interests, working against us. Foreign and domestic, Lindsey Graham works against us at almost all times. But there's a headline today. Lindsey Graham vows to push a sanctuary city ban if he chairs the Judiciary Committee in 2027. You hate sanctuary cities, don't you? The idea that we have cities in the country where illegals can be safe from arrest and deportation, it disgusts you, doesn't it? Disgusts me. I hate it. Can't stand it. Someone better do something about it. We're desperate for someone to do something about it. Now, Lindsey Graham, fresh off another world tour where he spent every waking moment screwing you over and screwing me over, is aware that now he wants something. So what's he do? He goes and grabs some staffer who did some polling on the thing GOP voters care about the most, and he found one thing, and now he's loudly going to be the champion of that one thing, hoping that what has always worked for him will continue to work for him, hoping that enough stupid normies in his red state will continue voting for him because they think he is their champion. This has worked time and time and time and time again. Rare is the senator who screws up badly enough that the voters will actually remember it. Now, ironically, that probably is John Cornyn right now. John Cornyn could have screwed Texans over on a variety of issues, joining with Democrats on gun control legislation. That's one of those things that probably cost you your job. The voters didn't move on. They didn't forget. But Lindsey Graham, he knows what you're hot on right now. And he knows all I have to do is pick one issue for a limited amount of time. Lindsey Graham intends to spend 0 minutes on trying to get sanctuary cities banned. I promise you, 0 minutes. He will put no effort into this whatsoever. This is a please pick me guys effort for the voters. United States senators on both sides play this game all the time. It drives me crazy. It's one of the reasons I actually hate that there are six-year terms for any politician in this country, but it's the game they play. All right, we'll talk about everything from Venezuela to the mall to kangaroos to, well, emails, all that and more. Final hour, next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.